Now, it's been really, really awesome. Every week this summer, really going back to May, June, like whenever we started, I think it was May. It's been really awesome talking with Sal Marinaro every week about the Bills, baseball, all of that. We're going to have him on here in just a little while. Trying to connect with Sal here. We're going to do that in just a moment. So we'll have Sal Marinaro. I want to ask him about his what he wrote about today at Pinstripe People. Very interesting. Let me just pull it back up. So I want to make sure. I think he is a Spencer Jones, the guy's name, the Yankees phenom prospect. And Sal wrote about him in his Pinstripe People article today. So I want to ask him about that. But of course, he's covered a lot of training camps, the Buffalo Bills. And we'll get with him about that. So we'll do that in just a second with Sal Marinaro of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. We are efforting to contact him. In the meantime, you know, some people can sleep on planes. And some people say they can't sleep on planes. I can. It's fine. I've never had an issue like sleeping on a plane. And sometimes, it might wake up a little bit. But this particular trip we took, 8 hours, I decided I'm not going to sleep. I kind of want to be awake when I get there. And it's just because of whether the time difference and what time of day it was and all that. So I said, I got to find something to watch. So I saw, and everybody's always talked about Severance, this show Severance. I saw it on the flight right there and decided, oh, you know what? I'm going to start watching this show. Everybody is talking about this show and how great it is. And I had never seen it before. So I decided to watch Severance. Have you ever watched it, Josh? Severance?
No, I have not.
I had no idea what it was about. You know what it's about? You do, right?
Kind of. It's okay. Like some weird like thing with like you go to work and you can't remember when you're at work, when you're at home.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, basically. Kind of. Yeah.
That's the gist that I got from it.
So anyway, I started watching, but here's what happened. I watched the first episode on the plane. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch the second episode. And then watch the third episode. So I watched 3 episodes. They didn't have any more episodes. It's an Apple TV Plus show. I decided to subscribe to Apple TV Plus just because I wanted to finish watching this damn show because I was so into it. And over the weekend, I finished the first season of Severance. And late last night was the season finale of season one. Now I got to go watch season two. And I literally subscribed to Apple TV Plus just because I enjoyed watching Severance on the plane so much. That's what happened. It's a great ad right there for Apple TV Plus, right? I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you that's what happened to me. We got Sal Marinaro now on the Wester Hotline. Have you ever seen Severance, Sal?
Yes. Sal, I hated it.
Okay.
Exact. I liked season one.
Yep.
And then we started season two, and I'm like, by the end of it, it was a chore to watch it. I just
okay.
did not like it.
All right.
I didn't like it. It wasn't my kind of show.
Okay. I could see that. I thought
I thought you
tweeted
like,
about
okay.
that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, okay. And then it was gone for so long, and then I just didn't like the rest of it. So, yeah, I'm kind of on the other side of that.
All right. Well, I enjoyed the first season so much. I literally paid for the service just to watch it when I got back. So I'm like, now I'm invested in the show. I watched 3 episodes on the plane. I come back. I want to watch it. I finished season one last night. So season two is on the horizon here.
I can tell you that Apple TV is worth it because there's a lot of other good stuff on Apple TV. So you won't be disappointed with your subscription.
I appreciate that. I did have it at one point, and then I stopped watching just because, you know, life, what we do, right? I mean, it's so tough sometimes to get to shows and things like that I kind of let it go. And I'm like, all right, so I think I'll subscribe now. So I appreciate that. And I'll dive back in. And that'll be some of my training camp late night watching while we're out in the at St. John Fisher in the dorms. You don't have to stay in the dorms. You live out in Rochester. You know, training camp's been out there for 25 years, and I know because of COVID they didn't have it for a couple of years. What's been the evolution of training camp for you as someone who lives out in Rochester and has seen this team out there for a quarter of a century?
Yeah, I mean, it's the 2 weeks of the year that are nice for me because I don't have to travel all the way to Buffalo to see practice or whatever. So I enjoy having training camp, and it has evolved through the years. I mean, I will say that when it first came here, it was like the biggest thing to come to Rochester in forever, right? It was just massively popular. But unfortunately, that also came at the very start of the playoff drought. And slowly but surely, you started to see there was a little bit of waning interest, you know, around, you know, 2008, 9, 10, after it had been here a decade. But now it has been completely rejuvenated because of all the things that they've done out there. And even though it's hard to get tickets, I mean, it used to be you just, you know, show up. You go to a shuttle bus and just show up. Now they control so much of it with the tickets, the free tickets. It's a little bit different, but there's a much bigger, to me, the passion seems even more than it was when it originally came here, because this is a really good team that people are going out to watch. They're excited to see Josh Allen. So, yeah, it's a very big deal in Rochester.
And it obviously helps out the community of Rochester, the local, you know, economy, and not just the media that's out there, and we're out there and going out for dinners, but it's been nice. And I think it's really kind of highlighted Pittsburgh. I mean, growing up, I had no idea how beautiful that place was. And obviously it's got great golf courses, and it's just a nice town. It's a nice area where St. John Fisher is located.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful there. You're absolutely right. Pittsburgh is a beautiful place. But I think a lot of people, you know, obviously knew Pittsburgh because of Oak Hill and
yep.
the golf championships that have been there. And even, Sal, even the LPGA tournament that was, you know, in Locust Hill, you know, technically right on the line of Pittsburgh and Henrietta. But Locust Hill, the dateline was Pittsburgh. So I think a lot of people knew about Pittsburgh. But the Bills have added a new dimension, you know, to the town. And, you know, with the campus being right there, and so close to the village of Pittsburgh. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on, and it is a quaint little, it's a quaint little Norman Rockwell type of town, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I opened up today talking a little bit about, after I talked a little bit about Italy, was remembering that Hard Knocks is going to be at training camp, and I keep kind of remembering that this is going to happen. But, you know, so I thought about it. I think this team is prepared for something like this. They've had the bright light shining on them. What concerns me is you never know when someone says something or something happens, it becomes a story. You didn't need it to be a story. How are you how are you kind of consuming what Hard Knocks can be or might be or not be?
Yeah, I think Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have had multiple meetings
yeah.
with everyone who's going to be involved with that show, and including the players. I think they spend time probably during OTAs and minicamp, you know, meeting with players in the big team meetings and making them understand, look, the spotlight is going to be on us. We want to keep as close to the vest as we can. Let's not be sharing, you know, too much for the cameras. I think there's been a lot of meetings taking place
yeah.
to make sure they've got a good, you know, a good lid on things. So it would shock me, Sal, if something broke in those however many five episodes, that is something controversial or adversarial. I'd be shocked if that happened, because the Bills as an organization, let's face it, they do a pretty good job of keeping things close to the vest. I don't think there's going to be a Joe Shane moment,
right?
You know, like there was last year. I doubt that'll happen.
Sal Majorana on the Wester Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Sal Majorana, and of course, he publishes his free Yankees newsletter, Pinstripe People. It's great. It's jam-packed with insight and analysis of every game, other Major League Baseball takes, plus great history, stories, and perspective. I read your story on Spencer Jones today, the vexing decision for Brian Cashman. Yeah. I'd like you to explain who he is, why it's such a tough decision, because it was really interesting, because I see this kid now on all these highlights every night and everything he's doing, mashing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer Jones was their 2022 first-round pick out of Vanderbilt, which is a baseball factory. And he's been in the minor leagues. He's been slowly making his way through. And the problem is he's just a strikeout machine. He had a 40% strikeout rate at one point. That's untenable if you ever want to get to the major leagues. However, the flip side is the guy is Aaron Judge from the left side of the plate. He's a power hitter. 6'7", 240, runs really well. I think he's got 96 career stolen bases, so he can really move. The talent is just off the charts. If he could ever get hold of the strike zone and not strike out as much, he could be a legitimate future star in Major League Baseball. The issue for the Yankees right now is, you know, their outfield situation this season is crowded. They've got four guys for three spots, so there's really nowhere to put them. Even the DH spot is clogged up. So the issue is, do the Yankees sell high on Spencer Jones? Because over the last 3 weeks, he has exploded. He got called up to AAA, and he's batting like 430 with 10 home runs. It's been unbelievable. So do they sell high to improve this year's team? Or Do they hug their prospect like they often do and just hope that this is the real deal when it's not just a 3-week hot streak and he becomes a fixture in their outfield next year? It's a massive decision that Cashman has to make, because it could really impact not only this year if they trade him, but if they keep him, it could really impact next year's outfield.
And obviously there's some spots where they need some help. Third base is one of them. We've talked about it this year, and now with some of the pitching injuries as well. How do you see this team's approach as the deadline, trade deadline, does approach, whether it's Spencer Jones or someone else, and what they need to do?
Yeah, I mean, the third base is a humongous hole for them. They've got Peraza and Vivas, who are terrible hitters. Both good fielders, but they can't hit a lick. So that's a big spot that they have to fill. And that's where Spencer Jones would come and play. I mean, everyone's talking about Suarez as the top third base. He's got 30 home runs or whatever it is. But to get him, because there'll be other teams that are trying to get him, that's where I'm talking about with Spencer Jones. You're going to have to come up with a package where there's a really desirable player going the other way. So if they do that, Jones becomes possible in a trade. If they don't get a third baseman, you know, that's going to be that won't be good. But that better mean that he's bulking up the bullpen, because this bullpen is not only is it shot right now, but they've got some guys who just aren't pitching well, and they're not going anywhere. You know how baseball is today, Sal.
Yeah.
You have to have a bullpen to win, especially in the postseason. So he is going to have to bring in a minimum of two arms. And I'm not talking about just guys to bring in. He needs impact guys to bring into this team if they hope to go anywhere, you know, in the postseason. So that's what's going to have to happen. I'm not so big on a starting pitcher right now. They're going to get Luis Gil back probably in the next couple of weeks. And if Stroman, who pitched really well yesterday, if he can keep throwing like that as your number five starter, that's not bad. The other guy to look at is Cam Schlittler, who just made his major league debut. He's going tomorrow night. I mean, if you look at that, if he ends up being the real deal and you get Heel back to join Rodon and Fried, they're pretty good in the rotation. So they don't need to go out and get a guy at the deadline, but they need bullpen help desperately.
All right, well, it's a series at the Blue Jays. It is a monster series. Yankees sit 3 games behind the Blue Jays. We all know what happened before the All-Star break. The Blue Jays swept the Yankees. That's why they're in this situation. They could either really take a stranglehold, the Blue Jays, on the division, or the Yankees could catch them here. This is a monster, monster series. And I find it interesting the Yankees have kind of set up their rotation to play it that way.
They did. They absolutely did. You know, now, Fried had the blister issue before the All-Star break, so it made sense to push him back as long as possible. But I also, there was a clear indication that they knew they needed to have Rodon and Fried for this series. They were going to hope to slide by against Atlanta, and lo and behold, they did. I mean, after that stupid bullpen game on Friday, which, you know, backfired, that come-from-behind win on Saturday, that, you know, you look for moments in a season, Sal, that turned things around. And who knows? That could be one of those moments, how they rallied to win that game. And they ended up winning that series not pitching their top pitchers, their top starters. So that was a good sign. But you're right. They definitely lined it up. So they had those two guys. And then even Schlittler going tomorrow against the Blue Jays, because they have to win this series.
No doubt about it. The Blue Jays, by the way, are just on fire right now. 14 of 17, I think it is, they've won, correct?
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, their offense has been off the charts, and we saw that in that series against the Yankees. They just crushed the Yankees pitching. So they've got some guys who are really going well. Springer's having this rejuvenation this season. 35 years old, and he's playing like he's 25. Guerrero's Guerrero. They've got this kid, Addison Barger, who came out of nowhere. I hadn't even heard of the guy until he killed the Yankees over those 4 games. So they've got some good bats. Kirk, the catcher, is a tremendous bat. So they've got a nice team. You know, their pitching was always what kind of held Toronto back. We'll see where the Yankees are going to see Scherzer, who's only pitched, I think he's pitched 6 times this year. So, you know, we'll see what he gives them. They're going to see Gausman, who's, you know, probably their best guy. So, yeah, this is a Blue Jays team that I did not think would be in this position at this point, but here they are, and the Yankees have to deal with them.
Before I let you go, what did you think of the All-Star game and the swing-off that happened? I had no idea, by the way. I woke up in Italy, I'm like, oh, the All-Star game was last night. Oh, they tied 6-6. And then I saw what happened. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? What did you think of everything?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the game. I don't usually pay attention, but obviously I watched the highlights, and, you know, no one even, it was funny. Nobody even knew that the swing off existed.
Okay, because right.
Typical MLB, not inform people. But sure enough, the game ended, and all of a sudden, they're trotting out these three guys to hit home runs. So I thought it was pretty funny that wasn't a known quantity. But again, it was pretty cool. I watched the highlights of it. And Schwarber, you know, three pitches, three home runs. That was pretty cool. And I found out after. I'm listening to, I think it was Michael Kay's show. And he had explained after, like 2 days later, when more news came out about the whole process, they had to pick guys. This is why everyone was wondering why Ohtani and Judge weren't in this. One of the stipulations is they had to pick players who had played in the second half of the game. Because I guess the theory there is they're still in the game, they're still warm. If you put, if you put Aaron Judge in there, he hasn't played since the second or third inning. You don't want him to have to get warmed back up again. Right. So that was the explanation for that, which, okay, a little bit hokey as far as I'm concerned, but that's why the guys that were in there were in there. But it was cool. Now, there's people talking, Sal, about, well, they should get rid of the Manfred man in the 10th inning and do the swing off every night. No, that would be absolutely stupid. This is perfect for an all-star game. But we don't need swing offs to decide regular season games. So hopefully, just goes there and it becomes an all star game thing.
Yankees and Blue Jays, they get it going tonight in Toronto, a monster series in the AL East and in the American League, and of course the Bills on the practice field on Wednesday. It is a really interesting and fun week, I guess. Sal, we're going to see out at training camp. Can't wait, my man. Thanks for doing this. I don't know what it looks like going forward, but we'll talk again, I'm sure, and we'll be in touch about that. But this has been really, really fun, and I'm glad that you approached me with the idea of doing this, because I've really had a good time talking baseball with you every week.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it, and I'll see you Wednesday.
All right, you got it. That is Sal Majorana, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Yeah, we'll talk with Sal more. We'll have more baseball talk, but of course, it's going to be mostly about football going forward here, and I'm going to be out of training camp. He's going to be out of training camp. We're going to be out of training camp, and you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff coming from training camp starting on Wednesday morning. Sean McDermott at 9:15 a.m. That'll be right during Jeremy and Joe, and they're going to carry it live right here on WGR. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back here. We'll prep you for Josh Reed, WIVB-TV. We will dive all into the Buffalo Bills, the start of training camp, and storylines around the team after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.